Well, amen. All right, turn in your Bibles today to the book of Matthew, if you would. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, I'd like to begin reading, and you can follow with me in your Bible, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 11, we'll begin reading at verse 28. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the invitation that we have in the Word of God. The Bible says, "Come unto me." And Jesus said, "That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And the Bible says that he giveth unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. We thank you for these invitations. And Lord, I pray today as we look at the Word of God that you, by your Holy Spirit, would open the lips of your servant to speak in the heart of your people to receive your Word. I pray you'd speak to saint and sinner alike. I pray, Heavenly Father, you might turn our hearts toward you, and that, Lord, as we hear your Word, you might open us to it, that it might produce its fruit in us, that it might do its work. I pray you'd help us today by challenging us and changing us, by convicting us and comforting us. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you might magnify yourself, glorify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. We just ask that you do that which is pleasing in your sight. Lord, we just love you for loving us, and we thank you for all the blessings that you have showered upon us, as undeserving as we are. And we thank you for how much you love us, as unlovely as we can be. And so, Lord, we just give you the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. This is perhaps the greatest invitation given to mankind. The Lord Jesus is calling upon individuals to do something that is not the product of human wisdom nor mental sagacity, or those who think they have it all together mentally. He's referring to truth, insight, and understanding that is revealed by God alone to those who are babes, those who are simple, those who are not depending upon their own mental power of perception and human understanding, those who are not wise in their own sight, those who are not righteous in their own estimation, and those who look not to draw upon themselves first. Look at verse 25. "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed them unto" who? "Unto babes." You see, these are perspectives and insights and understandings that can only be revealed by God the Father and received by those who humbly submit themselves to the authority of Christ and trust Him and rely upon Him as a sheep, a shepherd. When the Lord Jesus speaks of "my yoke," he's referring to his authority. If you would look the word "yoke" up in a Greek dictionary, you'd find out the word means submission to authority. Look it up in an English dictionary, it means submission to authority. It means a coupling. In Acts chapter 15, verse 10, we have, it's not the Lord's yoke, it's the yoke of the law. Look what it says. Acts chapter 15, verse 10. "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" That what was this yoke? In Acts, it was the yoke of circumcision. In verse 1 of that same book, it says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." And then the disciples said, "Wait a minute, this is a yoke that you're trying to place upon Christians that our forefathers could not bear. It was a yoke of the law. Listen, there are certain things that people do not want to or are reluctant to leave behind when they come to Christ. There are old teachings and there are old religious ideas and there are old traditions that sometimes when people come to Christ, they get it all mixed up. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free," here it is, "and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." What is this yoke? Again, it is the law, because in verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law." So these people wanted to pick and choose what they were going to bring over from their old religion into their new Christian faith. And he said, if you bring any of it, you got to bring it all. If you're going to require circumcision, then you got to require all. If you're going to have to do circumcision, you're going to have to do all the law. There are those who get saved by grace and then begin to live by the law as if the law could profit them. As if there was some benefit or spiritual profit in keeping the law of circumcision. It's like these guys would say, "Oh yeah, you're a Christian? Well, I'm a better Christian because I got circumcised." "Oh, you trust Christ as your Savior? Yeah, well, did you get circumcised?" But Jesus said, every man that is circumcised, he is debtor to do the whole law. The Bible tells us that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And once the law brought us to Christ, the law was there to condemn us. The law was there to teach us that we were sinners. And after the law brought us to Christ, and we were set free from the law of sin and death by faith in Christ. Paul informs the Galatians that we are saved by grace through faith, and we're to walk by faith, looking unto Jesus, not keeping the laws and commandments which were against us. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. The Galatians started out looking to faith for salvation, but then they turned to law for perfection. Remember the word yoke? It means to submit to the authority of and to couple with. We need to ask ourselves, are we in yoke with the world? Are we in yoke with the flesh? Are we in yoke with the traditions of men? Or maybe we're even in yoke with ourselves, where we are the primary authority and Christ is second. I read a bumper sticker one time on the back of a person's vehicle, and it said, "Christ is my co-pilot." And that may sound very spiritual, but it ain't biblical. That means I'm flying the plane and Christ is in the second seat in case I need him for help. How about Christ is flying my plane and I'm allowed to fly with him? How about that? Amen. I don't even think I qualify to be a co-pilot with Jesus. I just feel like I'm along for the ride. And if he says, be a stewardess, well, I ain't going to be a stewardess. I'll be a steward. How's that? If he says, well, I need you to be a janitor, I'll be a janitor. But I ain't flying the plane. You know what's going to happen if I fly the plane. We're all in trouble. Amen? So in our text, Christ is calling people to himself. He's not calling them to a church. He's not calling them to a tradition. He's not calling them to a religion. He's not calling them to some organization. He's calling them to himself. He says, come unto me. And then he promises three things. Number one, he promises rest to their soul. Look at verses 28 and 29. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The rest to the soul. This rest can be applied in two categories of people. the only kind of people there are on planet Earth. Saved and unsaved. That's it. You're in this room today, you're either saved or you're not saved. You've either been born again or you haven't been born again. And so as far as the unsaved is concerned, Christ offers to the frenzied soul of sinners rest. Frenzied with the heavy burden of sin and its guilt upon the soul, knowing that they are sinners. Frenzied with the labors of works and rituals for salvation. Frenzied with trying to make up for their sins by good works or charitable giving. When all along these things are futile because there's only one thing that can wash away our sin, and that is the blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, listen now, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You ever try washing your hands with no water, no soap, nothing? You have two dirty hands and you're trying to wash them like this, they just doesn't work, does it? Sinners trying to get to heaven by good works and by rituals and by religions and by giving are like the dirty hands trying to wash themselves. They've got to get under the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that can wash away sin. Colossians 1:14. Speaking of Christ, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, only the Lord Jesus can forgive sins. This phrase, thy sins are forgiven, is written 10 times in the New Testament in response to faith. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says that Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Did you hear what he said? No man, no woman, no human being comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. There's no other person you can get to God through. There's no organization you can get to God through. You have to come to the Father through the Son. And once you come to Christ and you trust Him as your Savior, you will find a spiritual rest of the soul, a rest from your works, a rest from your religion, a rest from your traditions. A rest from trying and trying and trying and lighting this and lighting that and pulling this and pulling that and praying this and praying that and going here and going there. Rest. Because when you come to Christ as your Savior, your sins are forgiven. Amen. You're washed in the blood. And your soul finally comes to rest in the Lord Jesus. But what about the saved? What about those who have come to Jesus as their Savior? Christ offers rest to the agitated soul of the saint. There are many agitated and anxious Marthas among the saints of God, among the believers in Christ, trying to earn God's love or secure God's acceptance or prove one's worth or assuage one's guilt by the works of the flesh. Or the self, or the me, practicing a kind of spiritual one-upsmanship. Almost out of breath, trying to cut the muster or measure up to some self-imposed litmus test. Commending themselves and congratulating themselves and comparing themselves and measuring themselves by themselves, which Paul says is not wise. And then they have omitted the weightier matters of the law, like judgment, mercy, and faith. So busy are they, little Marthas. How about all their little busyness? That they've forgotten judgment and mercy and faith. Heavy laden with trying to meet unjust expectations that are imposed more by a forced Christianity that is a result of a sense of guilt rather than by the working out of faith and love. Listen, when you come to Jesus and you are a born-again Christian, you can rest in what he has done. Christians who anxiously go about crossing every T and dotting every I without reading and understanding the words. They're carrying their own yoke. And they're going to pull it if it kills them. He said, come unto me and take my yoke upon you. But they have this idea that the yoke of Christ is some yoke that fits them, and they've got to pull and they've got to drag and they've got to do it. And if I'll do this if it kills me. Well, it will. Is that your Christian life? Is this your Christian life? Listen, if the commandments of Jesus are grievous to you, you're not under his yoke. You're under your own yoke. They have the rest of soul that salvation brings, but they lack the peace of soul that brings the rest that Jesus is speaking about. These are anxious Christians, and like Martha, they're careful and troubled about many things. Christians who find it hard to rest their troubled souls and lean upon the everlasting arms and trust that God is doing something even when they cannot see it, even as the song was sung this morning. We sing these songs, and we think they're wonderful, and we say amen, but we don't do. Jesus says that such anxiety of salvation or sanctification is a result of not coming to him and submitting to his authority and allowing him to have it and trusting him for the result. Dear sinner, you can trust Christ to save your soul and stop trying to save yourself. Amen. Stop looking to someone or something else besides the one who actually died for your sins and rose again. He's the only one who can provide for you the rest unto your soul that you can find nowhere else. Can you trust him with your soul this morning? And dear Christian, can you stop and experience the rest under your soul in sanctification and trust him with your heart and your mind and your life and quit trying to be perfect, but allow his peace to rule in your heart? Jesus offers three things. First of all, it's rest to your soul. Dear sinner, rest. That you are in Christ and you don't have to try no more. And dear Christian, that rest of knowing that you're in Christ and that you don't have to be perfect and that he loves you and cares about you and he's willing to work with you. But then he says this. He promises an easy yoke. Verse 10. For my yoke is easy. Perhaps the reason your Christian life is so anxious, frazzled, troubled, or windswept is because you have not come to Jesus and taken upon yourself his yoke. He said, my yoke is easy. You know why Jesus' yoke is easy? Because he's carrying it. You're not. You understand? When you get in the yoke with Jesus, the yoke really doesn't even touch your shoulders. You see, Jesus, he's got big, broad shoulders. Amen? Amen. And really, the only way to get in the yoke with Jesus, remember it's a coupling? The only way to get in the yoke with Jesus is on your knees. This is how you get in the yoke with Jesus. Now, what can you do when you're like this? Not much. But see how it's submission to his authority? Where's the yoke? The yoke's on Jesus. Where am I? I'm in the yoke with him, but see how light it is? Why? Because he's bearing the yoke. You understand what a yoke was? It was a wooden thing that went on the shoulders of this oxen and the shoulders of that oxen, and they're pulling together. Well, when Jesus has the yoke on him and you're in the yoke with him, look where you are. See how light that is? He said, my yoke is light. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, the famous verse, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But too many Christians are saying this, I can do all things, I can do all things, I can do all things, I can do all things. Why don't you just say, I can do all things through Christ. It strengthens me. I'm in the yoke with Jesus. Huh? I'll let him carry the yoke. I'll let him pull the yoke. I'm just along for the exercise. Sometimes we make the Christian life harder than it has to be because we're not submitting ourselves to his yoke, his authority, which is easy. We're trying to pull the Christian cart by ourselves, and we only ask for help when the wheels fall off. Sometimes we think we know where we're supposed to plow and how we're supposed to plow. But we find it difficult because we're turning our head in the yoke in our own direction instead of allowing him to lead and set the pace and determine the direction. It's like the Lord Jesus is in the yoke and we're with him and he's headed this way. And what are we doing? We're looking over there. We're trying to go over there. No wonder it's hard. No wonder it's heavy. You'll find the yoke of the Christian life way too big for you and way too hard to carry by yourself. But if you'll get in the yoke with Jesus and submit to his authority and allow him to carry the yoke and pull the cart and carry the load, the Christian life, listen, the Christian life isn't supposed to be hard. Is it hard for you to live your Christian life? Maybe you're in your own yoke. It shouldn't be something forced. I'm going to be a good Christian if it kills me. I'm going to keep those commandments if it's the last thing I do. When you come to Jesus, the yoke is light. So if you find his commandments grievous, you haven't taken his yoke upon him. Taken your own yoke. The third thing he often offers is a burden that's light. Verse 30, and my burden is light. We often lay upon ourselves burdens that he never intended for us to carry. Like the Galatians did with circumcision. He never intended for the Galatians to get circumcised. That was the Old Testament law. That was a covenant sign for Israel. And he never meant for the Gentiles to get circumcised. But they took it upon themselves and said, oh no, now we got to get circumcised. No, they didn't have to get circumcised. That's a burden they put on themselves, a burden which the forefathers couldn't carry. What is the burden of the Lord that we carry? What is the burden of the Lord? You know what? I think for the Christian, there's one burden that we have to concern ourselves. One burden. And that's to be pleasing to the Lord. That's it. You're worrying about so many things, aren't you? What are they thinking? What is he thinking? Why don't you just ask yourself, am I pleasing God? Am I pleasing to my Heavenly Father? Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Thessalonians 2, 4, but as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak, here it is, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Men will never be able to try your heart. Men will never know your heart. So quit trying to please them. If you're pleasing God, the men's perception is always going to be flawed. But if you're pleasing God, isn't that what counts? That's the burden. I just want to please Jesus. We are not pleasing them. Who cares if I'm pleasing Jesus? Amen. 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. The burden of pleasing men is heavy. The burden of pleasing God is light. How so? Because like the yoke, the burden is carried by the Lord as well. It is he who enables us to carry the burden. See, when we get in the yoke with him and we're in his yoke, we're taking our yoke off, whatever we've been yoked to. Maybe we've been yoked to the world, we've been yoked to the flesh, we've been yoked, we're carrying it all by ourselves. We put our yoke aside, we go over here, we get under the yoke of Jesus, and man, that's light. Whew. And we let him pull. And we're going along with him. Now we have a burden. But it's he who enables us to carry the burden. The burden of pleasing him. His burden is light. He said in verse 29, I think this is a key to the yoke and the burden. Look what he said. Learn of me. Learn of me. Now that word of can mean two things. It can mean learn from me and learn about me. And we do both in the Word of God, right? Learn from him by his Word and by his life and by his Spirit. When you learn of Jesus, what will be the result? Verse 29, meekness and humbleness of heart. You see that? Learn of me. He's saying, be like me. How am I going to be like you? Well, you let me carry the yoke. You let me carry the burden. Come on now, let me pull. Let me carry. Learn of me. Watch how I do this. Trust me. Learn of me. And when you do, when you learn of Christ, you will learn meekness and humbleness. So, to the extent that we are meek and humble, that's how the extent we've learned of Jesus. You following me? When you learn of Jesus, the result will be meekness and humbleness. It is in the meekness and humbleness of heart that a Christian finds rest to his or her soul. Philippians 3:10, Paul said, that I might know him. Wait a minute, Paul, what are you talking about? I mean, you're the Apostle Paul. But I want to know him more and more. Why? Because the more I know him, the more I'm like him. And the more I'm like him, the more I'm pleasing. The more I'm like him, the lighter is my yoke and the easier is my burden. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The more you learn of Jesus, the more he gets the glory. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. When you have the knowledge of Christ, you have wisdom. Amen. He said, learn of me, and you'll have wisdom. Learn of me, you'll have meekness and humility. Learn of me. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. 2 Peter 1:3, according to, as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You know why we have a heavy burden? Or a heavy yoke and a heavy burden? You know why? Because we have not enough knowledge of him to have the divine power that pertains unto life and godliness. We haven't learned of him. I'm of the persuasion that many born-again Christians know a lot about Jesus without knowing him. Because if they knew him like Paul wanted to know him, they'd be more like him. They would be known for grace, meekness, humbleness, wisdom, godliness, and love. Isn't that what he was known for? That's what's under his yoke. That's the burden he'll carry and allow you to participate in. They would be filled with the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. They would yield to the Spirit, Romans 6. They would be spiritually minded, Ephesians 4. They would be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5. They would have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2 and Philippians chapter 2. And they would think on the right things, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, as they learn of him. When we cast all our care upon him, the burden of life becomes lighter. The yoke is easy, the burden is light, because the Lord Jesus is carrying it, and not us. And we can only come to this point when we learn of him. In areas that you don't understand, trust him, because he does understand. You know what that brings? Rest. In areas where you don't have full information, trust him, because he has full information. You know what that brings? Rest. In times of fear, trust him. He's not afraid. That'll bring you rest. In times of uncertainty, trust him. He's in control. That'll bring rest. In times of difficulty, trust him. Nothing's impossible with him. That'll bring you rest. In times of need, trust him. His resources are limitless. That'll bring you rest. My dear Christian friend, you're going to go through things in this life that are going to turn you upside down and hang you by your toes. But you'll never have rest unless you're trusting him. Life is too big for us. The Christian walk is too hard for us. That's why we need to get under his yoke. That's why we need to carry his burden. What is that burden? Pleasing the Father. And learn this. I want you to learn. He said, learn of me. I want you to learn this of him today. Two things I'm going to share with you. Two verses. I want you to learn them. I want you to take them in and appropriate them. Here it is. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Here it is. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Now that'll bring you some rest. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, I've been in some situations. I've been in some circumstances. But then I remember, he said he'd never leave me, nor forsake me. Whew, that enables you just to go, I'm okay. I'm safe. Why? Because I'm under his yoke. The next verse is this. Matthew 28:20. It's a promise. He said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Where is he? With you. When? Always. Where? Anywhere. Everywhere. Boy, that'll bring you some rest, right? He's there. He knows. He cares. The more you truly know Jesus, the greater will be your peace, your love, and the rest to your soul. So if you're lost and on your way to hell, come to Jesus. Find rest, eternal rest for your soul. And if you are a Christian and you're anxious and troubled and careful about many things, if you're agitated in your soul, before you do anything else, come to Jesus and let Him give you peace in your soul. Don't try to find it anywhere else, because He alone can give you rest to your troubled soul. Let's bow for a word of prayer. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, this morning, dear Christian, I want to ask you this. Where do you go initially? To whom do you go predominantly? Are you tired of a hard yoke? Then come to Jesus. Are you tired of a heavy burden? Then come to Jesus. Because if you continue to carry the yoke and the burden of life by yourself, you'll find frustration, failure, and fainting. Come to Jesus and get under His yoke and find relief and rest. Perhaps you're here this morning watching or listening online. You've never been saved. Who are you going to go to for salvation? Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And what are you going to do to get saved? The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And how are you going to see heaven? Jesus said in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In John chapter 1 it says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. My dear friend, you need to be born again today by trusting Jesus Christ alone as your Savior and calling on Him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can do that right where you sit. It's a cry from your heart to God's ear. It's you calling out to God, admitting you're a sinner, and trusting Christ who is the Savior. You say, preacher, I'd like to do that. Would you slip your hand up? I want to pray with you. It's just you and me and God, nobody else. You say, preacher, I need to be saved. I need to be born again. Jesus said, if I don't get born again, I won't see the kingdom of heaven, and I want to see the kingdom of heaven. I want to get saved today, right now, right here. I don't want to wait. Slip your hand up, and we'll pray together, and you can ask Christ to be your Savior right there and become a new creature. Anybody like that here today? Say, I'm here. Heavenly Father, I thank You today for Your love and mercy. Thank You, Heavenly Father, that You have sent us a Savior who will not only save us from our sin, but carry us through life, whose yoke we can get under. And Father, He'll pull the cart. He'll carry the burden. And we can rest in Him. Forgive us for trying to do it ourselves and getting frustrated and fainting. Forgive us to looking to someone else or something else to help us as Christians when we need Jesus. I pray You'd guide us and direct us. Perhaps we need to come this morning and get on our knee and get under His yoke and find rest and quit being agitated and anxious. And Father, there might still be someone in this room who knows in their heart they need to get saved. And what I said was true. I pray You'd give them courage to come and meet me at the front while there's still time. We love You, we praise You, we thank You, and we give You the glory. In Jesus' name, Amen. Let's stand together, please. The altar's open. Maybe you'd like to come and just talk to God. Maybe you'd like to come and thank the Lord Jesus that you can get under His yoke, that He can pull your cart, He can carry your burden. Maybe you'd like to come this morning and say, Lord, I've been trying to do this thing all myself, and I'm frustrated, I'm fainting, I'm failing, because I'm trying to pull the cart. I'm trying to carry the burden. Maybe this morning you need to get saved. If you'd like to talk to somebody about going to heaven, I'd like to meet you at the front. If you're a man, we'll have you talk with a man. If you're a woman, we'll have you talk with a woman. But somebody who can sit down with you and show you from the Bible very clearly, very quickly, how you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. If that's what you'd like to know, as we start singing, you come and see me, all right? Otherwise, the altar's open. We're singing 595.